up, everybody? This is episode 378 of It's Super Effective, the Pokemon podcast. I'm your host this week. You're very mellow, very calming. Enjoy your day. Possibly get ready to take a nap. Your host, William Robert George. From confirmation.
George.
From confirmation, I am Catholic.
Oh, Anderson. That's right.
Anderson, spelled with an O-N, as I now have to tell every single person.
You do.
In Minnesota.
That's an important thing. That's like vital. Are you an O-N or an E-N? Wars have been fought over O-Ns and E-Ns.
And with me today is Greg.
Hello. Welcome to This American Pokemon Life. I am your host, Greg. Today in 3X, we'll probably talk about Pokemon.
I imagine.
How much we hate it, how much we love it.
Yes.
And other things. Stay tuned.
The Pokemon that's fit to fill your ears. We will I don't know, please you with over the next 60 to 90 minutes as the crow flies or whatever the expression. Greg, before we get to talking about Pokemon, I did want to give you a new update about life in Minnesota.
How much you love it. I am excited.
Well, I love spending money.
I've sent you all over the world to spend money that I can vicariously live through. It is very, very exciting.
I believe in the past 2 days, I've spent $4,000 in Minnesota dollars. on things that are actually taxed in this state as opposed to food and or clothing. But what I wanted to mention is in my experiences of traveling around your state, my state now, I guess, I've discovered what I first thought was a rare event, what is the word when something happens that's out of the norm? Just completely unexpected. That actually I was wrong.
Oh, what?
So
I mean, you're wrong a lot, but
yes,
what about this time?
I understand and I accept. I am a human being. So we thought that the homeless person, that was an aberration. What I have found is that when I'm in Minnesota, I actually have a superpower and I can make anyone in this state apologize to me for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
That is not a superpower.
That is
how Minnesotans deal with out-of-towners.
Welcome to your new emperor, Minnesota, because Will Anderson is here to just give you a look and make you feel bad about your existence for whatever reason.
We'll apologize, but we don't feel anything towards you.
Oh.
We just want to get out of the experience. Sorry.
Here's the truth.
If anybody says, oh, to you, then they're actually sorry. If they say, I'm sorry, then they're like, whatever, they'll leave. The minute the weather turns, they'll be like, it's so cold.
Really? Nothing can be colder than my heart. But
just wait till January. But
I cannot count the number of corners that I have turned and have a person standing there and they just apologize. I'm sorry. And I'm like, oh, you're sorry for what? Existing?
Yeah, for taking up your space. That's how we get around. You have taking people to bars here is, I love taking out-of-towners to bars because people apologize when they have to get through a crowd, and they're like, "What? Why are they apologizing?" It's just what we do. Just to get around you, like, oh, sorry, sorry.
Just squeeze through.
Sorry. Nope, can't. Gotta acknowledge that this is awkward. Okay, sorry. It's hilarious to me. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. We'll hit the bars soon, Will.
Well, I believe
no, we won't.
I have, since neither one of us drinks alcohol, that would be truly an aberrant experience, but we do have out-of-towners coming to visit us soon, so potentially
that's like all of October.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like every weekend in October people are coming to do things and I don't care for it.
There's the Minnesotan in you coming out. Well, at least within 2 weeks I will have a love sack with owl fur. So if anybody has access to a Lovesac store, go visit, try the owl fur.
Owls don't have fur, so I'm pretty sure that's an owl bear.
It's whatever it is. The color was dark gray. It is super soft, and it is going to be fantastic for anyone who comes to my house to play video games.
Oh, that's going to be me.
And I will also have the very expensive couch. The couch does have a name. It is called the Oxford 91-inch pop-up platform queen sleeper sofa in Orla Gray.
Ooh, okay. Lovesac spells fur.
P-H-U-R. So that you know that
what?
It's not made from an animal. No, no animals were harmed in the making of the Lovesac fur.
So rude.
Either way.
We've and got... also, it's not an owl.
All right. Look.
All right, let's get to the business.
We've got
let's
news.
Let's get down to brass tacks.
We've failed to Pokemon for long enough. For anyone who has or has not noticed, we do not have a third person this week because I didn't manage to get around to organizing to have somebody. But...
it means our conversation will be good and tight.
And we quick. Will agree on everything, and we won't have... it's going to be all the wheat, none of the chaff. That was...
yeah!
You ready for some news, Greg?
As much as I ever am.
Let me news you up here. Number one, Mario Kart Tour just smoked Pokemon Go in day one downloads.
I'm pretty sure vaping is banned, so...
ooh.
I'm
no,
not
no,
sure
this is smoking,
this
not
is.
Vaping.
Oh,
so
oh smoking's
that's the
fine.
Yeah.
Smoking's, you know, old school smoking's fine. Okay, one, what is Mario Kart Tour? Is that...
it's a mobile game. Wait, this is
how
from...
how can you play Mario Kart on mobile?
Let me read the article. This is from the next, thenextweb.com. Mario Kart Tour just beat out its fellow licensed gaming properties in terms of day one downloads, and not by a small margin either. By any metric, the game is the biggest out-of-the-gate success on the app market thus far. Too bad it's such a drag to play. Tour was... look, you don't get this when Steve reads the articles.
Oh, boy. That is a heck of an opening paragraph.
I also know how
this?
To pronounce Tour properly. Tour was announced last year, and according to Bloomberg, insiders claimed Nintendo was betting a lot on the app's success. I prophesied that it might be Nintendo's ooh. Biggest smartphone hit thus far. In terms of numbers, it seems my prediction isn't that far off. The app was released on September 25th. According to mobile data firm Sensor Tower, it has the highest number of day one downloads out of any of Nintendo's six mobile games, with none of the others even coming close. Data tracking site Apptopia reports that the day one downloads surpass those of Pokemon Go, Clash Royale, and the mobile version of Fortnite. The number,
dang, even Fortnite?
I know. The
but
number,
that's got flossing.
I haven't seen any flossing at the Mall of America. I was lied to. The number varies between
well,
the two
over.
Reports. The earlier Apptopia report puts the number at 10 million, while Sensor Tower reports 20 million downloads later the same day. Even assuming only the lesser of these two numbers is the correct one, that's still pretty impressive.
Dang.
I'll wager the driving force behind those downloads is the same thing I predicted would push the app ahead of the likes of Fire Emblem Heroes or Super Mario Run. Namely, the Mario Kart
Mario.
Series consistently has the most name recognition of any brand Nintendo's converted to mobile thus far. It's popular in a way Fire Emblem or Animal Crossing simply aren't. According to Nintendo's sales data, a Mario Kart game is the top-selling game on the Switch, 17.9 million copies, the Wii U, 8.4 million, and the 3DS, 18.4 million. While it's outstripped by Wii Sports on the eponymous console, Mario Kart Wii was its second bestseller, 37.2 million. Mario Kart DS, is the third best on that handheld, 23.6 million. Lots of people own and play Mario Kart games, is what I'm trying to say. So it's probably not a surprise to hear that when word gets out that there's a new Mario Kart game available for that most common of consoles, the smartphone, everyone rushed to try it. Apptopia analyst Adam Blacker also estimates Apple assisted marketing and automatic downloads helped push the number even higher. Additionally, the game was highly promoted and marketed with Apple's help, leading to up to launch. If you pre-ordered the game and you did not have auto downloads turned off, you woke up with the game already loaded onto your phone. It came out at 4 a.m. Eastern time today, yesterday. And the rest is just opinion.
Yep.
So
a whole lot of opinion.
All right. First off, all app children, all of our children are special in their own unique ways. We don't have to judge them by how many downloads Bobby got on day one versus over the lifetime of Susie's entire lifespan. Come on now.
Yeah, but if Susie doesn't start picking up the slack, it's off to boarding school. So...
Lucky Susie, I'd rather be going to boarding school. Greg, am I to understand that you have not downloaded Mario Kart Tour?
No, I haven't. Because, like, I like Mario Kart, but not enough to play it on my phone. And from everything that I've heard, like, it's super aggressively, hey, give us money.
Well, that's
like,
how you make
money.
More
than most things. And... I'm already mad at Nintendo and other apps. Like, Masters is making me super angry. So, like, the thought of downloading this for whatever money that they want for a title that I'm like, it's only fun when I'm playing at home with other people and only for about a month. So, Tour just held nothing for, like, I was not drawn to Tour. I was not eager to download Tour. So, I haven't.
Yeah. So it's like you can get the red mushrooms for free, but if you want the blue mushroom, you have to pay $5. And the race just like stops. And like the little floaty cloud guy comes out and he's like got his hand out. He's like, $5, please. You want that power up?
You want that power up? If you want that blue shell, those would be $20.
Let me offer a contrasting article from the website GamePur.com. Never heard of this site before.
GamePur?
GamePur. I guess that might have been pure, but they didn't quite make it.
They ran out of E's.
All right. This article is called Mario Kart Tour, All 806 Error Codes and Heavy Traffic Problems Explained. Did you hear about this?
No.
So launch day for Mario Kart Tour is turning into a rough experience for many players. 806 errors appear to be common, including errors about heavy traffic when trying to log into the game. Now that sounds like Pokemon Go.
Yeah, that sounds like Pokemon Go.
Mario
right
Kart Tour 806 errors. According to the Nintendo support page, there are three main ways to try and fix 806 errors. The page advises that these steps may fix errors between 806-0000 and 806-9999, which I imagine would be all the 806 errors. So if you are experiencing an error anywhere within that range, give the below steps a shot. Restart, reinstall. For additional questions or technical assistance, blah, blah, blah. Mario Kart Tour heavy traffic. Some players are getting a login failure message that will say the servers are experiencing heavy traffic. It's kind of funny to have heavy traffic in a car racing game.
Yeah, like the whole thing is to zip past them.
The servers are, you got to get the mushrooms. The servers are experiencing heavy traffic. Your login request will be processed in the order it was received.
Oh, that's nasty.
Worse than queuing for League of Legends.
That is nasty. That's what that is.
This is more easily explained as launch day traffic just being a bit higher than the servers can handle. When you try to log in, you get placed into a queue. The issue appears to be compounded by people not being moved out of that queue. The best solution here is to try and log in again, blah, blah, blah. We don't need to solve problems from a week ago. As we are bringing you yesterday's news today. So, same thing happened again. Login problems.
Yike. And I'm reading about how aggressive and ugly their transactions are. And that, like, this is Pokemon Masters all over again.
So what are you seeing?
It's just, so apparently the 200cc race mode is behind a paywall, and then there are microtransactions on top of that. Also, they do the same thing where there's just one currency, which is rubies. So that's that sort of frustrating, like, you call this one thing, you call this currency all the same thing, and then you try to differentiate them.
Oh, free there's rubies season, versus pay for yeah. rubies.
And there's a season pass for a gold pass, which you have to pay for, and then the season pass gives extra rewards and gold items and unlocks a racing mode. Like, come on. And I mean, Steve had a point, he rarely does, but he did have a point last time, that with Apple Arcade, if you're going to pay $5.99 a month and you're going to get all of these games without all this garbage, you know, for that small price, this is beginning to seem outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you want how much money for what? And from what I understand, it doesn't feel good to play. Like, people are used to a certain level, especially, I suppose, hardcore carders are used to a level of interaction and intricacy with how, like, doing those skids good and being able to correct and making really tight turns. And I guess people are having severe problems doing that in game.
Like, oh, yeah.
It doesn't feel good to play.
Like, yeah, doing all the drifting and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the difference is between you use the term hardcore carders, but I think what people really know them as is the Jimmy carders versus the casuals, which are the Billy carders.
Nobody knows those references
except
for
you and
us. I. That's what makes it so good. I mean, so they have one currency called peanuts, and the Jimmy Carters.
The Jimmy Carters are they love the peanuts, and the Billy Carters are the beer dudes.
That was Billy Bush.
No,
wasn't it?
No.
Or was Billy Bear Billy Carter?
I think it was Billy Carter.
Are you sure? I thought it was Billy Bush.
There was no Billy Bush.
Isn't there? There's like 50 million Bushes.
Billy Beer was a beer first made in the United States in July 1977 by the Falls City Brewing
Billy
Company.
Carter.
It was promoted by Billy Carter, whose older brother Jimmy was the incumbent president of the United States.
I knew
something. This has nothing to do with Mario Kart.
No.
All right.
No. I mean, I thought Billy Beer was later. It shows you how bad my memory is of replacing things in time. Anyways, let's talk about how bad their pricing schemes are.
So I think what we're seeing right now, and probably if we look back at this in about 2 years, this is the impression we're going to get, is that the Apple Arcade is new. Super
yep.
new. Right?
Yep.
And it's going to take some time for things to start falling in line with that pay model. And so we are actually at the end of the microtransaction era.
Late-stage microtransaction capitalism?
Exactly. you make it sound so dark. Because it is, folks. It is.
It is the darkest of darks.
So, like, I probably... And this is, like, the excess, right, of microtransactions. It's like in the sunset of the late-stage microtransaction capitalism, we see the most excessive examples of microtransaction mania.
Yep.
And then it will be overthrown by the Apple Arcade model of common share across the board of, you know, everybody gets a share of the games that are played based off the monthly subscription, except for Commissar Apple, who receives the largest share, because obviously Commissar Apple is doing the most work.
Obviously.
By providing you a platform upon which to suckle at the teat of the subscription model.
Yep. That is what's happening.
Greg, why is every conversation between you and I turned into a
you
discussion?
You do it every time. It's all about you.
Communist.
Okay. Also, let's talk about microtransactions. People, if you are not playing Dragalia Lost, they're doing their 1 year anniversary. Start now. It is super fun. They're doing an entire catch up thing. You get 5,000 gems to to do tenfold summonings. Plus, you're getting free tenfold summonings.
Are these gems all good gems? They're yes. equal gems to the other yes. gems.
Yes. It's super fun. This event they've done for their 1 year anniversary is amazing. I have enjoyed it immensely. It makes me hate Pokemon Masters even more because I'm playing a microtransaction game that really appreciates me playing it and is running a super fun event. And you, every day you have with their catch-up event, since they're giving you a free, not only a free tenfold summoning, but one of them is a guaranteed 5-star. Like, just play that now. Put Masters away, because I was playing Dragalia Lost all weekend, having super great time playing in their 1 year anniversary, switched over to Masters to face literally, like, they are making the grind in that game even worse. It was bad to begin with. It is even worse now, and I can't bring myself to play it. I'm like, this is so not fun to, like, I know I have to spend at least half an hour grinding out 3 more levels to get the things so that this other event even becomes worth it. And it's just, and the gems in that game are punishing and ugly. And I've been trying to do summons, and their summons just feel terrible every time you do it, because you get no guarantees. Go play Dragalia Lost. It's their 1 year anniversary is a great time to jump in. They are doing an entire catch up event. Like, there are rewards for playing their game and catching up so that you can do the high end content. They are giving you things to help you get there. You get free six free, completely free item summonings a day that give you 10 vital items that you need to play the game. You get 6 of them a day for free while this event is going on, which is like over this next week.
Okay.
So go play that really great game. Put Pokemon Masters away. Skip World Tour. They're nickel and diming you to death, people.
All right. My last question on this topic before we move on to the next news article is,
yes,
how much is Dragalia paying you to shill for them? Because
none.
This has been multiple months now.
None. It
I've
is
seen
a
you
great
get people
game.
To uninstall other games from
yes.
their phones just
yes.
to put that Dragalia stuff on there.
And each and every one of them has thanked me. I have the receipts in Twitter.
Oh, my word. All right. Next news article. Mysterious 24-hour Pokemon Sword and Shield stream to reveal surprising information.
This is the wildest thing I've read. Like, when this happened, I'm like, they're doing what?
Well, here we go. Perhaps we'll see new Pokemon or weird behaviors. Ahead of Pokemon Sword and Shield's November 15th release date, the Pokemon Company is hosting a 24-hour stream to reveal surprising information about the game's world. The Sword and Shield stream will begin at 6 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on October 4th and broadcast, that's a Friday, folks, and broadcast footage from a camera set up in a Galar region forest called Glimwood Tangle. Pardon my error there.
You got hit hard.
The static image on Twitch and elsewhere, like YouTube, shows the forest through a night vision lens, with Glimwood Tangle's lush foliage and large mushrooms in view. The Sword and Shield website displays a message from Sonia, a research assistant for Professor Magnolia, Sword and Shield's new professor from the Galar region. Naturally, Sonia is also Professor Magnolia's granddaughter. My name's Sonia, and I'm a Pokemon researcher. Here in Galar, I'm always helping out with research for my gran, Professor Magnolia, that is. I'm sending this message because I could really use your help with some research I'm doing. Next week, a camera will be set up in a strange forest here in Galar known as Glimwood Tangle, and the camera will begin broadcasting live footage. The broadcast will last for 24 hours. If you could take a gander when you have time, that'd be just great. Thanks in advance. The live stream is expected to showcase Pokemon from the Galar region, giving fans a peek at their behavior, among other things. A note on the Sword and Shield website says that viewers may see things that surprise them, hinting at new information, perhaps new Pokemon evolutions or moves to be revealed during the stream. The website also has a disclaimer that the footage will not be directly from the game. No doubt Pokemon fans will be scouring the 24-hour stream for any new details from Sword and Shield, running off fumes from the last big announcement that Wild Duck Pokemon Farfetch will finally evolve in Sword and Shield. The news cycle is running off fumes?
Yeah, I don't know what.
This is from Polygon. Now, who wrote this one? This is obviously not from the good Polygon author. Now, this is from
Sweet Potatoes.
Sweet Potatoes, Nicole Carton. Nicole, you and I need to have a conversation because you got to better understand the Pokemon news cycle, and we ain't running
this
on
is
no
hardly
fumes.
Fumes. Okay, this is like some straight up Black Mirror stuff.
Why? Like,
okay, live footage.
Okay,
live
yes,
footage.
That's so
of
weird.
Of a fake world.
And they're not even
it's
like
wild.
Pointing a camera at a switch, right?
It's no,
like somebody it's like, had to animate. Do well, 24 hours of animation of some sort.
Now we know what happened to the National Dex. They're making this.
It all comes together. Yeah, right? Because, right? The animation's too hard and like too much of the
stuff. Too much
stuffs.
Because they instead of including Barboach and Gold, well, we know they're putting in Goldeen. Who else? A Basculin and Tapu Koko. In this game, we are instead getting a Black Mirror view of a fake Tangle in a game that doesn't exist to watch for Pokemon for 24 hours when I'll be at a wedding.
Oh, that's right. But we can stream it while you are officiating the wedding.
Yeah, I know.
I am not. So I will be watching this while
you'll be
you're
watching.
Dirtling
when
on
you
with your blah, 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 love, la, 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 commitment, blah, blah, lifetime together, blah, 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 hooray.
That's, you have been reading my notes.
I'm sure there's something in there is like, never mind the gentleman in the black with the in the back with the gray suit who's like just thumbing his nose at this entire ceremony.
So we are due for starter evolutions. So what? Okay, I'm going to give you odds, and you tell me what percentage you think this is going to happen in the stream. All right, so. What do you think we're going to see the mid-evolution of the starters?
That's 85 to 90%.
What about final evolutions of the starters?
0%.
Okay. What do we think we're going
to
finally
too early
get?
For in the year for that still. I'm sorry. We're still, that's October. We're like still over a month
away. We are
away.
Not that far away.
Over a month.
Impidimp finally announced. Show.
I don't understand that because Impidimp was shown.
I know, and they haven't talked about
Stop
it.
Stop taking my beautiful child and hiding him under a bushel. Come on.
So what do you think? Impidimp finally shown and announced.
Okay, I'm actually going to put that at 25 to 30%.
Okay.
And include it an Impidimp evolution, I'm going to say, is 10 to 15%. But I will tell you this, Greg. This and right. If you want to find some sort of religious or pseudo religious book for me to place my hand upon to pledge to make
right,
this official,
I've got one. I'll
if
bring it over.
They do not acknowledge my beautiful child Impidimp before this game releases, I will play through the game with a team that is just six Impidimps. Take
right.
that, Mr. Pokemon.
All right, we will do that. Okay, it is set in stone. Thus it shall be. Thus it has been spoken.
Yes.
All right. What do you think we're going to see? What is your percentage on seeing new Galar forms in this stream?
New, like, other evolution?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like...
Other Galar
like
forms.
The Galar,
so like,
Galarian Lapras?
Yeah.
I'll give that 50-50.
All right. I think we'll get one new... Well, okay, so... What about one new unreleased Pokemon? What's your percentage?
I would say that's going to be 75 to 80%. That's a pretty high chance that there will be like completely
right.
new one. But also like
two not yet released.
That's dropping, but I'd give that down to about 60%. I think with each number of new unrevealed Pokemon, it's going to drop by 10% percentage chance. All right.
So you're thinking at most we would see 4 new not released.
Well, no, I started Pokemon at 70%, so we've got like 7.
Well, I mean, it's getting pretty low. Once we get below 50, the odds are really against that happening.
So,
but are you feeling confident that we will get 4 new unreleased Pokemon?
Yeah. Yes. All right. Yes. But so there's also a question here.
I am not that high on that. I think we're getting evolutions. I think we're going to get one. We're going to see all the
evolutions
ones
count
move
as new
around.
Unreleased Pokemon. Technically.
Technically, but I was talking about them as separate things, clearly. I would expect one Galar form, maybe 2 brand new, never seen before Pokemon, Impidimp, and the middle evolutions of the starters. And then literally everything that we've seen released before just running around a lot. And there'll be some sort of shadow that the animators put in there because they copy and pasted wrong.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to only spend time talking about what that shadow could be. And that will eat up our feeds for the next 3 weeks as people argue that it's a Jinx evolution.
So you're saying an artifact of the animation process will cause people to imagine that there's actually something there that doesn't exist at all. That is your statement?
That is my statement.
Okay, my counter statement to that is one of 2 things. Now, I need everybody to sit down. If you're driving, pull to the side of the road because I don't want any car accidents. If you are flying an airplane, please land it at your nearest
airport.
Please land immediately. Because we don't trust autopilot anymore these days. Autopilot, no good. No, don't use that. All right. And I give this the higher likelihood. I'm not putting a percentage chance on it. At some very selected hour and minute, reveal the mythical Pokemon for the region. It will dance across the screen, and you either saw it or you didn't, and hopefully somebody out there is recording the entire 24 hours so that they
somebody
can play
out
that.
There is recording the entire 24 hours.
They will either show the mythical or in some way imply its existence in a very shady, shadowed kind of way that's not an artifact of the animation process. Or, and this is a slightly lower possibility, there will be a new Eeveelution that will appear.
Everybody thinks there's going to be a new Eeveelution. I don't, why?
The only reason I think is because they are doing this. And it's probably going to be a dragon evolution of Eevee.
That seems not likely. I call nay.
You say me nay?
I say thee nay, sir. Oh. We shall meet with leek lances upon the field of the Renaissance Festival.
Is there a Renaissance Festival here in Minnesota? Because I haven't been to one
in a good
long time.
This was the last weekend, so we'll have to do it next year.
I only go once every four years. Okay.
I only go once every 4 years because I do not enjoy it. I spend all my time at the State Fair because the State Fair is better.
And the Renaissance Fairs don't change up too much.
They do not.
As time goes on.
Also, one year when we had our very small dogs, we went to go see the Birds of Prey.
You mean the Batman characters? The women?
The
Batman
actual
characters?
Birds like falconry and hawks, and they're like, oh, please hold tightly to your dogs.
Oh, dear.
Really?
All right. Do you have anything else to say about the mysterious 24-hour Pokemon Sword and Shield stream?
No. I mean, please capture them and show me because I cannot watch all day. I have a lot to do.
True.
And play. I have to get my hair cut at some point. It's a lot. My Kickstarter's ending on that Thursday. It's a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a big week.
All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have some more Pokemon news, because there was a whole bunch of Pokemon newses to talk about. To bring you more information from the world of Pokemon. Once again, with you today, I am William R. Anderson, and we are joined by Pokemon International recognized Pokemon expert, Greg Leatherman.
Hello. Welcome to part three of our Pokemon series.
We're only on part two.
Oh, dang. All right.
Don't make me laugh. You're vile. Oh. Next news article.
Next news.
Let's go back to our peaceful conversation.
All right.
A chunk of Pokemon Go's spawn points have vanished. This is from Polygon.com. Players are trying to figure out what's going on. One of the latest Pokemon Go updates seems to have gotten rid of a bulk of Pokemon spawn points in the game. It seems that while some points were added, a lot of them were removed from players' usual routes. Niantic has not made any announcements regarding spawn point changes.
Well, they never do. I don't know what people are expecting.
I don't know. Spawn points are known to change every now and then, but based on analysis from the Silk Road subreddit, it seems that more players are experiencing losses than they are gains. The subreddit is flooded with players reporting that their spawns have vanished, varying from players in quiet rural areas to players in bustling cities, similar to Minneapolis.
Yes.
Several players, like Reddit user Sigtees, have theorized that spawn points haven't been reduced as much as they've been spread out. Now, instead of five Pokemon spawning in one point, those five Pokemon will spawn further away from each other. It's unknown if this is true or not yet. So literally, you just wrote a paragraph of not news based on one dude's speculation. Thank you, Polygon.com. User SnowKittyXO.
This is where we get into problems.
User SnowKittyXO notes that in Niantic's other GPS-based game, Harry Potter Wizards Unite, which uses a lot of the same data from Pokemon Go to place monuments and objectives, the spawns for magical beings are way higher than Pokemon Go's spawns. This means having higher numbers of spawns is something that Niantic can enable and disable at will.
At will?
All that being said, it's a good time to walk around in your local areas to access the damage. It may be, no, the word you wanted was assess. Who wrote this article?
Not
Julia
me.
Lee at Polygon, at Dahrae, D-A-H-R-A-E, underscore. Let's have a conversation about assess the damage versus access the damage, word choice. It may be time to reevaluate your go-to spots for Pokemon Go. All right, so this is non-news. Are you serious?
Yeah, this is... Whatever. Like, really?
All right, here's the real Pokemon Go news. This was obviously an article submitted by a frequent listener and supporter of the program, Steve Cerumi. But the one that Steve Cerumi missed was Pokemon Go International Tourism Day. Did you hear about that?
I did. I got the shirt, and then I put on the shirt in the game, and then I said, oh, I don't like this shirt, and I took off the shirt and put on the GoFest shirt that I actually like.
So how much did the United Nations have to pay Pokemon Go, first off, to get their ugly UN World Trade Tourism Organization T-shirt into the game? All right, here's the real article. This is from PokemonGoLive.com. September 25th, celebrate the spirit of travel during the first ever World Tourism Day event. Trainers, happy World Tourism Day. In partnership with the United Nations World Tourism Organization, UNWTO, which probably paid us about $1 million to $2 million in order to get all of their junk up in our game, we are celebrating the first ever World Tourism Day event in Pokemon Go. For this upcoming week, we'll be celebrating exploration with a special in-game event. New features starting on September 26, 2019 at 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, GMT-7. New shirt! Check out a new United Nations World Tourism Organization t-shirt available in the Style Shop. Region-limited Pokemon available in eggs. The following Pokemon will be available in 5-kilometer eggs in their respective real-world regions. Farfetch'd, Kangaskhan, Tauros, Heracross, Corsola, Volbeat, Illumise, Torkoal, Zangoose, Sevipur, Lunatone, Solrock, Tropius, Relicanth, Pachirisu, Mime Jr., Chatoot, Ponsagi, Ponsiar, Pompoor, Hiatamur, and Durant. Shiny Pokemon rivals spotted. If you're lucky, you might encounter a shiny Zangoose or a shiny Sevipur in the wild in their respective real-world regions.
I have not found any shinies during this world tourism thing.
And Mime Jr., the Mime Pokemon, will be making its debut in Pokemon Go. It will be available in 5-kilometer eggs in Europe. If you're lucky, you might hatch a shiny Mime Jr.
I have not had any shinies, and I'm angry and angry about it.
Well, I got a shiny Horsea, which isn't even on the list, so guess that shows them. Hold on. Features from Thursday, September 26, 2019 at 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, GMT-7, to Tuesday, October 1st, 2019 at 1 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, GMT-7. So basically, you get one more day when you're listening to this program, if you are listening to this program on the day that it comes out. Decreased Stardust costs for trading. Trading Pokemon will cost 1/4 less Stardust. Spin Pokestops for extra XP. Earn 2x XP when you spin the photo discs of Photoshop Pokestops you haven't visited before. Nobody cares about that. I'm already level 40. I don't need experience. Specially named field research tasks will be available for a limited time during this event. Augmented reality technology is changing the way we travel and experience new places. At Pokemon Go Fest Chicago 2019, we had visitors from 68 countries and regions. At Pokemon Go Fest Dortmund 2019, half of all visitors were international. Well, of course, half of them were international. It's Europe. You walk 5 blocks and you're in another country. Come on. Talk about false bragging. Half of all visitors were international and came from 90 different countries and regions. UNWTO's mission is to promote and support responsible, sustainable, and universally accessible tourism. And we're so proud to be partnering with an organization who shares our values of exploration and adventure. Keep these steps in mind when traveling to make your travels rewarding for you, the people you meet, and the places you visit. Let's go, the Pokemon Go team.
Let's go!
And that, when I said these steps, if you click on my words, it actually takes you to a UNWTO, not secure website. Tips for a responsible traveler. All right. I didn't get the t-shirt. I'm not into clothes.
I mean, you get it for free. It's just there.
I'm not into style.
Well, I mean, I know, but maybe your avatar is.
No, my avatar is still not wearing any shoes for probably about 3 years running now.
What is your shoe beef again? Why do you hate shoes?
Oh, I hate shoes. I hate shoes. This winter in Minnesota is going to kill me because even like in D.C., I would go in flip-flops in the middle of January and February. So I know that's
not going to be possible.
Like outside? Yes, sir. I am a Hawaii boy.
So?
We don't wear shoes in Hawaii at all.
Yes, you do. I've seen it. I've been there, you know.
Okay, that's 2000s Hawaii. That's not 70s, 80s Hawaii, right?
In the 70s and 80s, Hawaii was much softer. But due to the hardening of the 90s, people could no longer wear
shoes.
All
the lava, the volcano exploded again.
All the volcano activity made hard, stabby rocks, so therefore all Hawaiians now have to wear shoes.
All right, so on my walk, because I accidentally walked 6.5 miles
on
Friday
evening.
Your walk with your dog? Yes, except
it's
I don't have a dog.
Dog.
She died. Thanks for bringing... was not walking with any dog. I was on a walk all by myself. I decided I'm going to go from my house. I'm going to go along that beautiful Hiawatha Creek.
It is
and
beautiful.
Then maybe see like Lake Hiawatha. And then I was like, well, I'm here. I might as well go see Lake Nokomis. And then I was like, I'm at Lake Nokomis. I might as well walk around the entire thing. Ended up being 6.5
yeah,
miles.
Yeah, that's a big Foolish. Walk.
Well,
that's a lot.
I'm a big dude.
I mean,
anyways,
you are, but...
Besides catching a shiny horsey, I did get the research task of... trade across 10 bajillion miles, kilometers?
I think it's 1,000 miles, or maybe it's kilometers.
It's kilometers.
I think metric.
This is yeah, because it's the UN. That they're trying to take over our country with their
world government,
with
their
government metric system, and that's
nobody
just,
likes
I
the metric
stand
system.
For it.
Nobody even knows what the metric system is. It makes no
I'll
sense.
I'll tell you who likes the metric system: French people.
Well, we, but
so what do you? What do I get if I trade from that research task? Because that's going to be tricky too.
I mean. Is the reward a Pokemon? Because it's probably something you don't want.
I mean, well, if it's an item, it's definitely something I don't want because my bag's always full
and
overflowing.
Full.
And... what do you think about this event? Do you think it's like a nice, you know, let's bring attention to one of the most meaning? Like they won't even, well, no, I was going to say they won't do anything for Christmas, but they do.
They do.
But like, what is this bizarre? I mean, I know a lot about the UN. I did study international relations.
You did.
I didn't even know that they had a World Tourism Organization.
I didn't either.
It is a Pokemon. It's probably one of them shiny Sivipers or Zangoos.
If you're lucky, you're not that lucky though.
Trade Pokemon caught. You got that right. Trade Pokemon caught 10,000 kilometers apart.
Wow, so, that's like. I don't know how long, because kilometers is a made-up number.
I mean, it is a magical, imaginary number, but we know. This is what we learned in our American schools. Greg, you went to American schools, right?
I did.
This is the great knowledge we learned in our American schools. We know that the imaginary 5K is 3.1 miles. And the 10K is 6.2 miles because we run races where we use their pretend distances as the measure, because the other thing is that runners like the bigger numbers, even though they're going a shorter distance. See how that magic works?
Yeah, so makes you feel powerful.
A 10K is 6.2 miles, and you multiply that by 1,000, that's 6,200 miles, if I mathed that properly.
I certainly
hope I did.
I don't know that you did, but okay.
I mean, I went to school in a lot of different states, mostly New York and Hawaii. But
a lot of different states, too.
I mean, it was different parts of New York, so there's variations in quality when you come to that
place.
I mean,
you're not wrong, but...
So, 6,200 miles, that's quite a bit of distance, actually. That's more than the entire United States, if I'm from coast to coast, if I remember properly. Because to drive from D.C. to Minnesota was under 2,000 miles, and that's pretty much half the country right there.
Was it that little? I suppose.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So... I don't know. I like it. I like, actually, so my opinion of the event overall, I like having these little don't cost extra money holidays, and they give us all of the things that they didn't give us in our ultra bonus, which, you know, reduced cost for trades in the Stardust, and you get more experience just for spinning Pokemon, just for doing the day-to-day things you're going to do in
right.
Pokemon Go anyways. And then it's like, here's an incentive. If you do one of these long distance trades, you know, I if Steve was here, he'd know, because he actually reads Reddit and poisons his mind. But
I don't.
No, neither do I, because we are intelligent older folks, Greg.
And Reddit is like, I don't even know how to use this. I've tried.
It's like there's certain ages in your life where you're like, that pit looks like it's full of poison. Let me jump in anyways. And then you get to this other age where you're like, that pit looks like it's full of
poison.
And I don't want to be poisoned, so I will continue walking
past. I'm
full up
with normal poison called my day-to-day life. I have no room for more.
Yes, exactly. I don't need to put external poison in. I generate my own inside perfectly well.
Full up, thank you very much. It's called a 9-to-5 job.
I just wish that they had designed a better t-shirt, because that t-shirt is so it's like all the iconography of the United Nations has pretty much remained the same since 1972.
Yes. Like, it's just not a good, I really wanted to. I'm like, oh, I'll be international touristy. And I put the shirt on and I went, well, that was short-lived, because it lasted on me for 2 seconds, and then I moved on.
Yeah, it's ugly as heck. The only thing that could have done to make that t-shirt uglier is used a Mercator projection rather than the actual globe that they did. So this whole episode is just going to be full of references that only Will and Greg are going to pick up on.
Look it up. Look it up, kids. Ask your parents.
It's, I believe it's spelled Mercator.
I mean, oh, it's just so bad. This is like that weird giant globe with, like, and it looks so small you can't tell that it's people. So it looks like weird ribbons for, like, gold ribbons for no good reason.
Yeah, and it's like you're kind of like thinking, oh, are those Pokemon dancing around on that shirt? And it's like, no, they're just stylized figures of
international people,
human looking tourists. They're tourists
over a
everybody
globe.
Everybody knows that tourism is a good thing.
And you can't even read the UNWTO very well either. Like, it's just weird. It's just wild to me.
But what's wild to me is I have, because I am an international sort of gentleman, a polo shirt from the UN Development Program in Mozambique, and it has that same globe on it over the heart area as the little symbol of UNDP. And, okay, now settle back in your chair, because here's a stupid, pointless story. When I used to work...
It's called this podcast.
When I used to work in the 90s, late 90s, at the World Bank, at the International Finance Corporation, there was a common cafeteria for all of us. And you used to pay for your soda at lunch by the number of ounces of soda that you placed in your cup. So what you would do is you would buy a plastic cup that had ounce measurements on it, and then you would fill it with soda and bring it to the register. And the person at the register would say, you have 10 ounces of soda, so you will pay $1.40. So I had one of those cups from the World Bank, and it had that same stupid globe on it.
That's a logo.
Well, this is 24 years ago. Come on, look, United Nations. Hire a graphic artist to get with the decade.
And untouchable. It certainly does not look... I mean, okay, it's so old that it's probably retro. So it's fine, I guess. The fact that oldies are music that I was listening to in college now breaks my soul. So who am I?
No, that's classic. It's not oldies.
Listen to the oldies station, my friend.
No.
The 90s was 30 years ago.
A little part of what was left of my soul just withered away and died, crumbled into dust. All right, time for our next news item. How exciting. This is from IGN, the internet game news, or I don't know.
Oh, it's by Joshua Yell. I follow him on Twitter. I enjoy his tweets.
Got a very cute profile picture.
Oh,
I don't
yes.
know whether he is actually cute or not, but that little...
He's family, you know.
Half-inch by half-inch circle looks very nice.
He's family.
He obviously takes care of his skin or has somebody mm-hmm. who does Photoshop for him. Here we go. Shiny Charizard Pokemon card sells for over $10,000.
Why?
Didn't realize Charizard knew payday. Thank you for that subtitle, Joshua Yell. The new Pokemon card set, Hidden Fates, features a rare shiny Charizard GX. And one just sold for a staggering $10,100 on eBay, also the same amount that Will Anderson has spent on furniture in the past 2 days. There are several factors that contributed to why this particular card went for so much. Here we're going to answer your question, Greg.
Why?
Hidden Fates is a brand new, special mini set that's especially tough to find in stores. I have seen people send me photos of stacks and stacks of Hidden Fates.
Yeah.
When was this article written? This article was... September 3rd? Oh, it's a little old.
Yeah. All right. I mean, Steve found one, so what does that say?
Yeah. Rather than being sold in traditional booster boxes, Hidden Fates booster packs only come packaged in limited products, like the Mewtwo and Mew collection boxes, the Legendary Birds Elite Trainer box, or a Gyarados, Raichu, Mewtwo, or Charizard tin. These products are quickly being snatched up at local game shops. Getting your hands on Hidden Fates booster packs is a challenge to begin with, and then you've actually got to pull the Charizard GX, which is one of 45 different Pokemon GX cards in the set. What makes Hidden Fates even more desired is that in addition to the standard cards in the set, it also features a shiny vault, where select Pokemon cards have been reprinted in their shiny form. Charizard cards always have high value compared to others, given the Fiery Lizard is a fan favorite Pokemon. But when you add in the fact that this is a unique black and red shiny version, the card becomes exponentially more sought after. This card is actually a reprint of the Burning Shadows Charizard GX with a new shiny artwork. This shiny Charizard GX card was in perfect condition, earning an almost unheard of black label rating from grading company Beckett. Other ungraded shiny Charizard GX cards have been selling for around $300 to $400, which is already an incredibly large sum for a modern Pokemon card. But given this one was found in pristine condition and was professionally graded, it incited a bidding war that quickly skyrocketed. It should be noted that false bids are sometimes placed to troll sellers, meaning this auction has a chance at going unpaid, but that this particular auction had 44 bids gives it an air of authenticity. If you are the seller or winner of this auction and can help us by confirming the legitimacy of the sale, please reach out to us via email, blah, 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 blah. Typically, the most expensive Pokemon cards are ones from years past that have printing defects, were only obtainable at special events, and or were only printed in small quantities. So what ultimately makes this shiny Charizard GX so exciting for collectors is that it's out in the wild right now. You don't have to have saved it from your childhood collection or won it in a prestigious tournament. You simply need to track down some hidden fates and have luck on your side.
Yeah, a lot of luck. And but, like, you're going to flood the market, and then it's not going to be $10,000. It's going to be an ancient Mew card that you got when you saw the movie. And nobody
and
wants
no
it.
Update on the article from recently saying whether it was a real bid or not. So it didn't sell for over $10,000. It was bid on for over $10,000. Let's have some authenticity and accuracy in our news reporting, IGN, please. Thank you. I don't care how cute you are, Joshua Yell. I will still hold you to the same standards as I hold everyone else.
Does it link to the eBay? It
does. Ooh.
It is currently sitting at $10,100.
Yeah, that's the one they were talking about with $50 shipping.
$50 shipping?
Dude, you got to keep that thing safe.
I mean,
I don't understand. Okay. So, for people who don't know, there is this company Beckett. They do ratings of trading cards, usually from like the fun popular trading card games like Magic and Pokemon and not Cardfight Vanguard. I think they also do baseball cards.
They do baseball cards. When I worked at Schindler's for a huge chunk of my life, when Magic the Gathering started, before Beckett was doing Magic the Gathering, they were only known for baseball cards. So I used to have to look up, or I'd have people coming in and going, what's the Beckett on this? Because we would buy cards from people all the time, and I'd say, I don't know, let me go get the sports card person. And then I would leave them. But then we had Beckett manuals all over the place for like every conceivable card type
and
imaginable.
So what the Beckett people do, you have to get the cards to them.
Like
no,
everything. They
no,
make it up.
No, no. The parts that they don't make up. So you have to get the card to them. I don't recommend putting it in the mail unless you've got some super insurance on that. But then they basically look at it. I don't know if they use a microscope, but they use some sort of magnifying tool to analyze the actual condition of the card.
Like so, hardcore, too.
Yes.
They are not. When they say mint, they mean mint.
Yeah.
It has to be pristine.
It is not only things that are under the owner's control. So these are the four areas that they actually give you kind of like a I want to say a receipt, but you basically get a sealed container back with the card inside because after you get it rated by Beckett, it's never going to be played and it's never intended to be played. So the four areas that they analyze on are centering, which that's the print quality, right? You have no control over that. So that's judgment of whether how the card was printed on the card stock it was printed upon. Edges. So they go along the edges and make sure that there's no bends, wrinkles, tears. And we're talking, they use super magnification. So even like you've played a card once, your finger's going to scrape along that side and cause a little bit of flustering on the sides, that's going to drop down your rating.
That's a demerit on your rating.
Corners, so whether the corners are bent, dent, anything like that, because that tends to happen frequently with cards. And then surface, and they look over the smoothness of the entirety of the surface of the card. So this is one of the things that really makes this stand out, is the fact that this was pulled from a pack. And it received 10s in each of those four areas. And then Beckett also assigns a serial number to the card that they have now encased in plastic so that it will never be touched or anything like that. So that it's on an official record for all time that this particular card is that card of such value, et cetera, amen. So yes, the fact that this was pulled from a pack and the person who pulled it didn't open the pack in such a way
right.
when they tore it open to damage the card, and then managed to get it to Beckett for analysis in a way that did not damage the card. That's the true testimony that we're shouting out here.
Oh, absolutely. Like, that was a lot of work.
And I know you don't care for trading cards so much, Greg, but
you know, I'm trying this new event in the arena game, and I don't know what I'm doing, and it's very frustrating because I feel like I'm not getting the most that I could out of this game.
Well,
it's a very frustrating experience.
The next time that there is a Magic pre-release, which it's sad because I literally forgot that I live above a game store.
Yeah, and isn't there one right now? Because they're doing the fairy tale thing, which
exactly,
I'm into.
And I forgot that I live above a game store. So I was like, talking about pre-release, I was like, I'm not driving 40 minutes outside of the city. And then I was like, oh, I could have just walked across the street.
I mean, I opened one of the packs and I got the new fairy person who's cool.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oko?
Yeah, I got Oko. I got Oko in my arena game. But I'm like, I don't know how to... Like, I don't... Okay.
Well,
about these cards. I open, like, 20 packs, and I get 8 cards each or whatever, or 7 or whatever.
So and now you have 160 cards,
only,
is what you're telling me.
Only one of those cards in my virtual pack is a card that anybody cares about.
Well,
that's what makes
trading
me so
card
angry.
Games for you, buddy. That's why we buy singles. We don't open packs.
Well, I don't have a choice, do I, in the stupid arena thing?
I don't play the stupid arena thing. I only play with physical cards.
Well, I mean, if I could get a... I kind of dig Oko. Like, I'm liking...
Oh, he's got some sweet abs.
Yeah.
I want abs like that.
I will play that game with that card for sure. But here's the thing. I don't know what I'm doing. And it's so frustrating because I'm at the part in Magic the Gathering Arena where I no longer get experience for playing against the robot. I have to play against people, and I do not know what I'm doing. And I'm put up against people who are like running YouTube channels who are like, look at this person who clearly has never played the game before. I'm like, yeah, I've never played this game before, and yet I'm playing against super users.
Well, you just have
it's
to remember
it's an incredibly frustrating game.
That Magic the Gathering originated from Dungeons and Dragons.
It
so
did
start
not.
With that. It did so.
Ugh.
It was designed for as something for people to play while they were waiting for a new D&D session to start at Gen Con. I got that from the words of one of the creators of Magic the Gathering. So it has its roots in Dungeons and Dragons.
Well,
but here's
everything
the thing.
Has this
here's system. How you play Oko.
Okay.
You +2 and get a food token.
Yeah.
Because that dude never eats when he's got abs like that.
He is giving away that food for sure. All I know is you +2 to get food, and then you have the goose make the food into something. Into mana. Like, that is the extent of what I know of this whole thing, and I don't get it. And I quickly get frustrated trying to play the game. And I'm like, I need, like, super basic somebody to, like, walk me through. And plus, stop giving me these useless cards that nobody likes.
That's trading card games.
I know, that's why I hate them. I hate them so much.
Why don't you play Pokemon trading card game online?
Same reason. But I get a bunch of Garbo cards.
But at least you get to play with Pokemon.
I kind of understand it, but then I always feel like I could be playing Final Fantasy instead.
Well, I guess we all have our particular garbage that we enjoy, don't we?
Yeah, Knitter.
There's nothing garbage about Knitter. Come call me in January when you're looking for a hat.
Already asked you for a hat, and you said no.
I don't remember that at all.
We were at the Mall of America, and I took you to that really cute knitting store and said, oh, I'm so excited for you to make a hat. And you're like, I'm not making people hats.
Now I remember you're right. I did say no. Look, I'm not a hat. I'm not some kind of hat factory.
Well,
serve all your hat
when you're
needs.
Sitting on your cute new chair staring at the world outside your windows, knitting, whip
making,
one into a hat for me.
Hats for myself.
Charizard. Oh, I have to get you your hat, by the way.
$10,000 Charizard.
No, that's just not good. Like, it's
and,
too much.
I mean, that's late-stage capitalism for you right there.
That's a microtransaction out of control is what that is. I mean, bring it back.
That's like a year at community college right there.
At least. Ooh.
Or, you know, two couches and a love seat for Will Anderson's living room.
Ooh, he's all a right. couch, though.
We're going to take another break, and when we come back from our break, we'll have the question of the week and the Pokemon of the week.
Yeah.
Again, to bring you further along on our third act and our journey into the Pokemon world and an exploration of the people, places, and things that bring us Pokemon in our daily lives. To start with, we are going to return to our weekly custom.
Yes.
Of having a question of the week. The question of the week is available to those of you who belong to our Slack community in the Addict channel. So if you are paying enough where you feel that your subscription to It's Super Effective is an addiction, you will be presented with the opportunity to offer a question of the week for every week. As is tradition, we will introduce the question of the week with a song, and this week I will be singing the song, as I don't know why, I just decided to switch it up. I'm in charge.
I have no control here. Remember, Slack is not just for work anymore. Slack.com.
Even when it's at work,
it's not for work either. Like, nobody, I've seen work Slacks. It's a whole bunch of people not doing work.
All right, our song for question of the week. Did you know so long ago we used to wonder things and ponder away each night and day until our Greg would sing? The time has come, we will resolve our intellect to tweak. Present us now, if you will, the question of the week.
Dang.
All right, read the question, Greg.
All right. All right. So, this is from Robert in our Slack channel. Remember, Slack is not just for work anymore. Last episode, someone said, what would a Ditto evolution be in the course of discussing the Shield exclusive possibilities? So, what if Satoshi came to us and said, you must design a Ditto evolution?
And if it is interesting and good, we will pay you millions.
Like, that is the key. Yes, I will do that for millions. What do I submit? I know what I submit. All right, hear me out.
Okay, go for it.
So, when Ditto evolves, it evolves. It has to be at the front of your party. It evolves into the Pokemon that it's next to in your party. Gains that entire typing and everything, except it gains its hidden ability. And instead of its normal face, it has a Ditto face. So it literally can be any Pokemon, including mythicals, but with a Ditto face. And that Pokemon's hidden ability, should that hidden ability exist. It completes its final transformation into its ultimate Ditto face form. $5 million, well, please.
I want to write you that check, because that's better than anything I could have thought of. Good gracious.
And I mean, finally, those plushies would make sense.
I might make it a little different. I don't think I'd have it evolve by being like the first Pokemon in your party or anything like that. But Boy, that's a great concept you got there. I mean, I was thinking, like, let's honor its tradition of being used to generate eggs.
It evolves into an egg? It evolves
evolves in the daycare.
Oh, right? It has, like, to be in the daycare.
You put it in the daycare, and after it produces, like, a certain number of eggs.
500 eggs.
Then, let's take a variation on what you offered. So,
all right.
After it produces a certain number of eggs, maybe that number of eggs is randomly determined.
Oh, you're just making people work at that point.
Well, that's hello. Well, hello, and welcome to the world of Pokemon, where we've claimed that something's a game when it's actually
labor.
Yes, it's actually, here's the true secret, dark secret of Pokemon that they weren't going to let you know. Pokemon's pretty much the equivalent of, like, protein folding and SETI Online.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're basically just, you don't realize it, but you're actually processing a huge major question/theory and sending the data back to TPCI.
Did you have the SETI Online screensaver?
Heck no.
Brent,
I value the security of my computers. Thank you.
Brent did
not
for a real
any
long
information
time.
Back to randos.
I mean, they're getting it anyways, so I might as well pretend I'm doing good with it.
Anyways, okay, let's go super wild and along the lines, because your idea was just so good, Greg. I can't stray from it too far.
Okay,
because it's just like you've presented the paragon. And now anything I do is going to be a pale shadow.
I'll give you part of my millions that they paid me.
The Ditto has to be in the daycare.
Check.
It evolves after a randomly determined number of eggs.
Check.
It evolves into any of the Pokemon that you have registered in your, let's say, to keep it sane, national Dex.
Oh, but there's no national
regional,
Dex.
Your regional Dex.
Oh,
sorry.
Good save.
Poor choice of words. But it won't have the hidden ability. It's guaranteed to be shiny.
Oh, no. Sophie's choice.
And it has the Ditto face.
Yeah. I like that one a lot.
So I think both of those ideas are really good, because it's like, it's kind of like Ditto. You've worked so hard.
Right.
Once you evolve, then you get to, like, rest. You don't have to transform, or maybe it's like when we used to have, like, Silly Putty, and when you Silly Puttied it too much, and then it would just become hard.
Oh, yeah. It's no longer Silly Putty, it's Silly Concrete. Yes, I think those of us who had
plastic.
It no longer picks up the art from the comics page.
Can they even sell Silly Putty anymore?
Yeah,
or is it,
but
like,
it's like there's no newspaper
toxic
to use it on, so what's the point?
All right, our Pokemon of the week.
All right, last week was not even a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Cheater, cheater, cheater.
On my article that I wrote, but I can't. So, not a Pokemon. It's one that you can multiply yourself. You can generate a maximum of 999 of them in Alola on the particular island where you can generate items. And psychic and ghost type Pokemon would benefit the most from it. Potentially, they're the only ones that would benefit from it. And if it's used to make a poffin, if it's the only ingredient, it will make a sweet poffin. Greg?
Yeah.
What was the not a Pokemon of the week?
It's a Kasib berry?
Kasib berry or Kasib berry.
I mean,
yes.
For the long time, I thought it was spelled basic backwards, but the I and the A are wrong.
Yeah, but Nanabees and...
Yeah.
That's like, they all like are just a letter scramble.
I'm trying, like, I look at the Dream World artwork and I'm trying to figure out what berry it's based off of, and I literally have no idea because I'm not that familiar with my berries.
It does look like a flower.
It looks like a flower.
So.
It looks like...
Yeah.
Is it like a honeysuckle? But then, like, Kasib usually refers to some part of the berry sometimes. I don't know.
I don't know. Origin name Buddha's hand.
Oh,
here we go.
You're eating a hand.
Buddha's hand, Citrus medica variable sarcodactylus, or the fingered citron, is an unusually shaped citron variety whose fruit is segmented into finger-like sections resembling those seen on representations of Buddha. It is Buddha's hand in Chinese, Japanese, Korean, and Vietnamese. The different cultivars and variations of this citron variety form a gradient from open hand types with outward splayed segments to closed hand types in which the fingers are kept together. There are also half-fingered fruits in which the basal side is united and the apical side fingered.
What does it the taste origin, like?
Like citrus, I don't know. The origin of this kind of citron is commonly traced back to the Far East, probably northeastern India or China, where most domesticated citrus fruits originate. I wish they would not use the term Far East. I think that term is deprecated. Thank you, Wikipedia. Well, there you go. There's your origins of the fruits.
No pulp or juice. It's mainly, it's very fragrant and used predominantly in perfumes and clothing.
You want smelly clothes?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, I do use Tide.
Because I looked up to see how it like tastes. Apparently there are candied versions of it that are used in recipes. Like I just found a candied Buddha's hand citron. So basically you can candy it and give it sugar and it tastes like something. I still no absolute statement of what it tastes like, so I guess we just suffer in silence like we always do.
I also think that looking at images of this particular fruit is one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, they're being nice when they're saying it looks like fingers. It looks like a face hugger.
It looks like some creature from another planet. That does not mean to do nice things to you.
No, it is not. It is.
But I would appreciate if among your holiday dishes, Greg, that you would make me something with a Buddha's hand citron.
All right.
If you can find them somewhere.
You'll get that when I get my hat.
Give us this week's Pokemon of the Week.
All right. I'm going to take us on a journey, like often happens. So when Will and I were talking about when we were going to record this episode, I said, oh, I'm out running errands and I'll be available at any time. And in typical situations, did not explain myself, meaning this was on Saturday and I'd have time to record in time on Sunday. So because yesterday I didn't have D&D to play, so we were running our errands early. And then I remembered that it's the last weekend of September and the state fairgrounds is having their annual clearance sale on all of their state fair clothing, so you can get everything half off. And there were a bunch of shirts that I wanted to get, and I needed to get a birthday present for my friend who wants a shirt that's way too expensive during the fair time but would be great at clearance if we could find it. And so since I was at the fair, I thought about this Pokemon. So this week's Pokemon came about in my brain because of my trip to the state fairgrounds. This Pokemon is one of the weakest Pokemon of the generation that it was introduced in, and its typing is extremely common. While this Pokemon's two main abilities suggest that it's very cautious and has a flighty nature, its hidden ability suggests it has a powerful mind because it shares that hidden ability with other computational Pokemon. Who's that Pokemon?
Well, I've got no idea. Only I'm supposed to make the ones that are like super impossible to figure out. You're supposed to do Sunkern.
Not Sunkern.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes with the state fair theme.
Yeah, maybe? It could. I mean, Seedart's a big thing, but that's not it.
Well, I do have to start working on my entry for next year's state fair.
Yes.
Well, but the rule book was so long. Can you get me an abbreviated version?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to go to the knitting part. I have a friend who does knitting stuff for the state fair and submits all the time. So, like, we can get the scoop for sure about what you need to do.
Well, that brings our program to a close. I hope you've enjoyed your time in the world of Pokemon, learning about the people, places, and things that bring us Pokemon every day. If you would like more information about this particular program, you can find that on the website, pkmncast.com, I believe is the website.
Is that it?
Why not?
Could be. Is it?
It's not?
No, it is. Yes, it is.
Well, now we've proven that pkmncast.com is a location where you can find information about this program. All of our episodes are posted there. If you didn't happen to find this episode, I don't know where you're listening to this. If you'd like to reach us on Twitter, the Twitter account for the actual program is at PKMNcast.
Are you talking about the Twitter? What the Twitter handle
is? What is the Twitter handle? I don't go on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, I know you don't. Why don't you go on?
Because I told you why.
No. You probably didn't. I forgot.
It's at Pokemon Podcast on Twitter. Pardon my incorrect information. If you'd like to reach me on Twitter, I do respond to direct messages and at mentions. You can reach me at Wash in the Sink. If you'd like to reach Greg on Twitter, you can reach Greg at White Wing. There's no H after the second W in that particular Twitter handle.
No, that attitude.
Well, do you own White Wing?
I don't.
Don't direct people in that direction if you don't own the handle. If you'd like to watch the founder and host of this program on Twitch, he is a full-time Twitch streamer currently at TwitchCon, and he apologizes for not being here this week to stop the train wreck. You can reach him on Twitter at DraggingALake. And his Twitch stream is twitch.com/PKMNCAST. I know that for sure. That is the actual Twitch URL. And then if you would like to contribute to the program and join our fantastic Slack community, if there has not been a, there probably won't be an insert of the advertisement for it, you can contribute at, what is it? ISC.cash?
Yeah, I think it's ISC.
Why don't we have these answers at the tips of our fingers?
This is Steve's problem, not ours. Oh,
that's so true. ISC.cash will take you to patreon.com/itssupereffective, which obviously too unwieldy in order to continue using. Just $2 a month gets you access to our Slack community. It's no longer just for work. All right, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are...
super effective!
Well, you also got to say something.
No, it's yours. That's yours.
Super Diddolutions. He start the program.
What's up, that's everybody?
No, you. Why don't you do it? Go for it. You can start it this time.
No, you're the prime. You're Will Prime. I am the secondary.